Looking retrospectively from an evolutionary perspective, short-lasting cortisol was actually a great thing for our survival, as it's our fight or flight response when we're in danger and we're threatened. It would literally help save our lives. Hey everyone, Holistic Lexi here. Thank you for tuning in to my podcast, Nutrition Intuition, where I discuss current events and trends in nutrition and bridge the gap in the faults of mainstream science with state-of-the-art research and intuition. Please don't take this in any way as medical advice. It's purely for entertainment and education. I still encourage you to do your own research, of course. Please leave me a rating or a comment on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you're listening on. Your feedback is much appreciated. Enjoy. Hey everyone, today we will be discussing the problem with calories in, calories out, and caloric restriction. So I hear this a lot in my practice of health coaching. Someone will come to me and say, you know, Lexi, I log my calories in my Fitness Pal and eat under 1200 to 1500 calories per day because that's what my Fitness Pal said to do in order to lose 2 pounds a week. And I still cannot lose any weight. I've hit a plateau. I'm also exercising 5 times a week. Many times, this daily caloric intake of 1200 to 1500 calories per day that my clients are eating when they initially come to me is 20 to 40% lower than that person's daily caloric needs, according to their basal metabolic rate plus activity level and the thermic effect of food. So essentially, they aren't even reaching their caloric needs per day, and they still are having trouble losing weight. I also have other clients who come to me and say they've been on Weight Watchers, they follow the point system where they, you know, don't go over their points ever, which is essentially tied to calories, and they still can't lose weight. So they're not hitting their daily points and they're still having issues losing weight. So the main issue here is that calories in, calories out does not address some key factors that play a role in your ability to lose weight. So some of those factors include the quality of food, preparation of food, or macronutrient ratios, nutrient deficiencies, especially when it comes to, you know, minerals that are lacking in many people, hormones like insulin, leptin, cortisol. These all play a huge role in regulating blood glucose, satiety, fat storage, your metabolism and metabolic health, and of course, sustainability. So does caloric restriction work? Well, it depends. Let's start by addressing the quality of food. So if we compare 3 different items with the same amount of calories, let's say 2 tablespoons peanut butter, which is 180 calories, 8 grams of protein, 15 grams fat, 4 grams net carbs, 3 grams fiber. Now let's compare that to 180 calories from eggs, which is about 15 to 16 grams of protein. So it's already like double the protein of the peanut butter for the same amount of calories. It's 12.5 grams of fat, so that it's actually less than the peanut butter. There's obviously no carbs. So also you'll get more iron from eggs and B12 than you would from the peanut butter because plant foods don't have B12. Anyway, so now let's compare that, those two items, the eggs and the peanut butter, to 180 calories from grass-fed. Let's go with filet. So 4 ounces of that would be like 180 calories, same as the peanut butter and the eggs, 23 grams of protein. So 3 times the amount from the peanut butter for the same amount of calories, 8.7 grams of fat. So it's like almost half the fat as the peanut butter. Of course, there's no carbs. And of course, because it is beef, you definitely get more vitamins and other nutrients, especially iron, which is very important. Clearly, the grass-fed beef offers the most protein for caloric intake, which means it's the most nutrient dense if you're trying to lose weight. Because when you want to lose weight, you need to make sure you're optimizing your caloric intake with high protein foods that favor lean body mass. So it's, you're getting the most bang for your calorie buck if you want to look at it that way. However, unfortunately, diet culture and mainstream science have completely brainwashed people into believing that red meat, which has been an essential part of the human diet for centuries, is somehow bad for them and clogging their arteries. So really, touching on quality of food, beef that is 100% grass finished, not fed GMO soy or corn, it's a high quality food. You can't argue with that. Peanut butter, on the other hand, is high in polyunsaturated fats, the omega-6 in particular. This can actually increase the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids when someone relies on these types of foods for protein. And this has actually led to an epidemic that we're having now. We see people with inflammation, obesity. This raises the risk of other diseases and heart attacks, cardiovascular disease, diabetes. So it essentially makes you metabolically unhealthy. So just because you're staying under a certain amount of calories per day, because my fitness pal recommended that, if you're eating the standard American diet or even a step above, which is considered, you know, healthy and trendy, and maybe that includes a lot of omega-6 seed oils, you know, you most likely are consuming most of your fats from this polyunsaturated fats, which have a high omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. And obviously you don't want to be eating processed meats like bologna and, you know, conventionally raised animals aren't ideal as they're administered antibiotics, which disrupt the gut microbiome and your immune system. They're also fed GMO soy and corn, which increase their omega-6 fatty acid content as well. So ideally you want to be eating 100% grass-fed finished beef, which has higher omega-3 fatty acid content. And that's ideal because it's the anti-inflammatory fatty acid. So it really all comes down to source and quality, how the animals were raised. Pasture-raised and regeneratively raised animals are ideal. And, you know, what they were fed also really counts. You know, some so-called grass-fed cows are eating grass most of their life, and then 6 months before the harvest, they're fed GMO soy and corn. Since it's cheap, it fattens them up quickly, and more volume of the animal leads to essentially more profit. Calories in, calories out also doesn't account for absorption of nutrients in the gut. There's, you know, ways to prep foods to reduce some of the anti-nutrients that can interfere with mineral absorption. So for example, people soak, you know, legumes or they ferment vegetables, and this just helps overall to lower the content of things like phytates and oxalates, which can ultimately inhibit absorption of minerals in the intestines. Some minerals that are affected by these anti-nutrients that are, you know, higher in certain plants are iron, zinc, and magnesium. We'll get into that later. But other things that, you know, calories in, calories out doesn't really account for are macronutrient ratios. And these are essential when it comes to managing weight. You know, calories alone do not address the importance of this. Like I said earlier, you want to optimize nutrient density of the foods you're eating. So eating foods with a higher protein to calorie ratio is better than just focusing on calories alone. Also, did you know that 60% of adults do not consume enough magnesium? Deficiency in magnesium can lead to many chronic diseases. Magnesium is responsible for blood glucose regulation, blood vessel dilation, and relaxation. So a deficiency can lead to issues such as diabetes, atherosclerosis, hypertension. These are all diseases related to metabolic health. These diseases are all the leading cause of death. And, you know, most of the U.S. adults are not getting enough of this mineral. Just restricting calories alone will not address this nutrient deficiency that could be potentially life-saving. Hormones are another factor that play a large role in fat storage and hunger and satiety signals, and they can dictate our eating habits. So insulin is an anabolic hormone. It's released when blood glucose concentrations are high post-meal, so that cells can accept the glucose into them and make energy in the form of ATP. However, due to our westernized diets, high in processed foods, refined carbs, and omega-6 fatty acids, so much insulin gets released that the cells start to resist the insulin, leaving the glucose in the bloodstream, which raises the blood glucose levels. People become diabetic. So simply eating less calories will not address this problem. There's about 88 million Americans with pre-diabetes, and about 84% of them don't even know they have it. It's undiagnosed. So they have some degree of insulin resistance and they're not aware of it. So they may still be eating foods that further exacerbate their pre-existing glucose intolerance without even knowing it. So even if they're reducing the caloric intake, we need to start thinking of food as information and not just calories. Obviously, and if anyone's following the dietary guidelines, they'll see that adults are advised to consume about 45 to 65% of their calories from carbs. And if you're metabolically unhealthy, which 88% of the population already is, 45 to 65% of calories from carbs is not appropriate if you're insulin resistant. Especially we know that these carbs, they're not going to be coming from fresh, local, seasonal fruit and vegetables. They're going to be coming from mostly starches, sugary beverages, maybe some whole grains that are less than ideal for someone with a situation like this. Another important hormone is leptin, which is released in response to eating to signal that you're satiated and full. In general, this signal comes from adipocytes or fat cells, but ironically, the more fat someone has, the more leptin resistant they are, meaning they will release leptin, but won't respond to it. So therefore, they're not feeling satiated after a meal, which leads to more hunger and overeating. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle. So when calories are restricted and someone's still leptin resistant, this can be obviously an issue for them. It may lead to binge eating if they're, you know, feeling really hungry because they're not getting the nutrients they need to feel satiated. Cortisol is a hormone that when you suffer from chronic stress, you're likely to store more fat around the waist and abdominal area. Unfortunately, our modern day society has put many of us in positions of chronic stress. Looking retrospectively from an evolutionary perspective, short-lasting cortisol was actually a great thing for our survival, as it's our fight or flight response when we're in danger and we're threatened. It would literally help save our lives. It would release glucose into the bloodstream so that you'd be able to, you know, have energy to do things. But now, too much cortisol from, you know, everyday stress, which is unrelated to predatory animals chasing us, this can lead to chronic disease, fat storage, obesity, hypertension. So these are all part of the metabolic health epidemic, and restricting calories is not going to help manage and alleviate the stress and restore hormone homeostasis. It's just not going to do that. The other issue with calories in, calories out is, you know, the more weight you lose from a restricted calorie diet, the less calories you actually need as you lose weight. So like when your body weight keeps going down, your metabolic rate actually also goes down unless, you know, you're building muscle. A lot of the times though, when you're on these really restricted calorie diets, you're probably losing lean body mass, especially when macros are not taken into account. And I know that they're not in certain, like Weight Watchers, for example, it's really, the points are based on calories. Other apps, like I'm not sure what ratios they're telling people to eat, but looking at the dietary guidelines, adults 31 to 50, they're advised to consume a range of 10 to 35% of the calories from protein, 10% is kind of low, 20 to 35% from fat, 45 to 65% of calories from carbs. And, you know, let's not forget that at one point, scientists did pay researchers to basically shift the blame from sugar to fat in our current epidemic. So let's keep that in mind. But basically, when you restrict calories, you're lowering your metabolism. When you do lose weight from the calorie restriction, each pound you lose, your metabolism gets lower. It may not be really sustainable in the long run, because when you do start to resume normal caloric intake, which you will eventually, you know, you're going to have rebound weight gains. So basically, that's my take on calories in, calories out. I don't think it's sustainable. I don't think it's the main solution. I think nutrient density and restoration of metabolic flexibility and hormone homeostasis, including, you know, stress management, those are more sustainable goals. Building muscle, maintaining lean body mass, those are going to be the most sustainable ways. And of course, eating high quality food. I would definitely recommend that you start sourcing from your local farm, local rancher, get good quality 100% grass finished beef, pasture raised chicken that's not fed soy, not fed corn, pasture-raised eggs, not fed soy or corn. Don't eat any seed oils. If you go to the grocery store, you know, stay on the perimeter. Don't even go down the aisles, because we know it's all processed foods. To summarize the main points that calories in, calories out does not address. So it's quality of food, preparation of food, macronutrient ratios, nutrient deficiencies, hormones, metabolism, and sustainability. Thank you all for listening today. I appreciate you being here. I know that you care about your health. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So good for you. Keep going. You're on the right track. If you have questions, feel free to email me, rate me, comment on the podcast. And until next time, stay healthy.